Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
A gesture of solidarity for workers at Chrysler.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. The price of Daimler Chrysler shares jumped to their highest level in 8 years at the end of last week on rumors that a Canadian auto parts firm has made an early bid to acquire the automaker's Chrysler unit. When it comes to selling parts of Daimler Chrysler, the company could be worth more in pieces, about $30 billion more by some estimates. Now, a powerful German trade union is pledging what it calls moral solidarity with Chrysler workers to fight off any sale that might hurt their American colleagues. We spoke this morning to Ambrose Evans-Pritchard of London's Daily Telegraph to find out what the German workers are riled up about.
Well, they're concerned about the behavior of the private equity groups and hedge funds. They're sort of muscling into companies, taking them over, ousting the management, carving them up, selling off parts. And so there's a huge political backlash.
Why this backlash against these private equity firms?
Well, they've come in here. You've got companies like, Volkswagen, Deutsche Börse, which is the German stock exchange. These are national icons. And suddenly to have these sort of foreign groups coming in there and just calling the shots has come as a big surprise. And there is a question, are they doing this to make a quick buck? Or are they taking into account the long-term continuity of these companies? It's quite clear that European management needed to be shaken up and shareholder rights needed to be strengthened. But then you push this too far and you start breaking up companies that really, in the long-term interests of the people who work for them, the communities where they're established, really ought to be held together, but being broken up in order to make a quick profit. That is not necessarily in the long-term interests of those countries and those societies.
There's a sentiment that these private equity firms are not employee-friendly.
Well, the people who work for them generally tend to suffer more. They go in there, they tend to cut a lot of jobs, they tend to put them under a lot of pressure. It's just a tougher work environment compared to other companies. So, it's very difficult to make a judgment on this because in many cases they're actually saving companies.
Ambrose Evans-Pritchard, thank you very much for joining us, sir.
Thanks. Nice to be with you.
Speaking of union power, the Senate is set to start hearings this week, tomorrow specifically, on something called the Employee Free Choice Act. It's already passed the House. Under the measure, employees in a workplace could form a union after a majority of them sign a short form. Marketplace's Hillary Wickay reports.
The bill makes it easier for workers to form unions. Former energy technician Errol Horine will testify before a Senate committee. He says he lost his job after he helped unionize an ethanol plant.
If a majority of the people in that plant sign a card and want a union, then you automatically have a union. This reduces the time frame that the company has to coerce, threaten, and fire people for backing the union.
The bill would also allow the government to set a first contract if the company and employees can't agree on one. And that doesn't sit well with opponents like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce's Randy Johnson.
The idea that the government would step in and tell an employer how to run his or her workplace, set terms and conditions of employment, is a complete non-starter for us.
The bill was easily passed in the House, but faces the threat of a filibuster in the Senate. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
Citigroup is reportedly planning a restructuring, which is likely to involve 15,000 job cuts. The Wall Street Journal says the move would create a charge against earnings of more than $1 billion. Citigroup CEO Charles Prince is facing mounting pressure to reduce expenses and drive up a stagnant stock price. On Wall Street, the Dow ended trading on Friday up by 20 points. This is Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
The sagging housing market has started a new marketing trend. Sellers and realtors are posting video tours of their homes for sale on YouTube and iTunes. And a few hosting sites have been cropping up, like WelcomeMat.com, trying to give sellers an edge in this buyer's market. Kurt Nickisch hits play for us.
For 5 months last summer, Pierre Bouchard never got a single offer for his $500,000 New Hampshire home. Last month, he relisted. Different realtor, different story, thanks to this steamy online video tour.
Wow. Right out of a magazine. Space, light, high ceilings, skylight, all highlight the jacuzzi and the walk-in glass-enclosed shower, complete with multiple shower heads.
Fred Light produced the video. He says these YouTube clips trump the old blurry 360-degree virtual tours.
People buy houses based on emotion, and video creates emotion.
He charges realtors about $500 for each. A few brokers are starting to make their own, more basic walkthroughs with a digital camera. Light says the rest just don't get it.
They don't have a clue about marketing because they never had to market a house. Their idea of marketing is plugging a sign in the front yard and giving a listing to the secretary, and tomorrow you got 10 offers. Those days are gone. Sellers know that that's not enough anymore.
So sellers desperate to unload their homes are turning to realtors like Jeff Groper of Boston, who's willing to shell out the extra money. He says it's worth it.
Better, quicker sales.
Because Groper says this way, instead of taking a buyer to showing after showing, the open house comes to their home computer.
If the kitchen isn't the way they want it or the master bedroom isn't large enough, then they don't want to waste their time, saving the seller time from having to vacate the house, and also the brokers. Time is money for everybody.
And hopefully earnest money from a buyer soon for seller Pierre Bouchard.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, ultimately, it's going to prove itself in a sale. But on the other hand, we have an offer, and that's more than we did in, whatever, 5 months previously. So that's good.
Plus, Bouchard says he's enjoying living in his house more now. The video reminded him how hot it is, even in a cool housing market. In Boston, I'm Kurt Nickisch for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Take our podcast with you at marketplace.org. Good morning.
American Public Media.